31st. If you're excited to be alive, make some noise in here today. Absolutely. What a great day to be in God's house. If we haven't met yet, my name is Kyle. It's such a joy to be hanging out with you today. And no matter where you find yourself on your faith journey, I believe that today's service is just for you. Can I get a good amen right there? Absolutely. Before we hop into week two in our series, A Weary World Rejoices, I just want to pause for a moment and say a big thank you to Pastors Jer and Jen. When you see a legacy video like what you see in front of you, it takes devoted leaders who have said yes to the call of God on their lives and for their family to do that. And I believe that we're blessed with world-class leaders and first-class people in Pastor Jer and Jen. Come on. Absolutely. Absolutely. The Bible says to show honor where honor is due, and we honor you too. That is for sure. A weary world rejoices, and today's sermon title is called The Thrill of Hope. Just look at somebody next to you and tell them, hope is thrilling. Hope is thrilling. Nope, wrong neighbor. Come on, look behind you real quick. Tell them hope is thrilling. There's such a thrill of hope. This season of life for me, or I should say this season of the year, better said, is a fresh reminder of my favorite Christmas ever. Anybody have a favorite Christmas or favorite Christmas gift ever? Okay. So my favorite Christmas gift is connected to this very quick story. I don't know if your parents were like my parents, but my parents didn't always give me gifts that I wanted. Oftentimes they gave me gifts that I needed. I'm trying to find the honest saints in here today. Okay, they're right in the middle. I'm gonna stay here. So you get your stocking, and my stocking never really had gifts that I wanted. It always had gifts that I needed. Come on, socks, underwear, come on. Then you go to middle school, and it goes to toothpaste and deodorant. I feel like they were trying to tell me something. Hello. Tic Tacs and gum, hello. It wasn't what I wanted, but it was what I needed. Then one year, my dad said, all right, you guys have opened all your gifts. I've got two younger brothers. And so he goes to their room. He reaches up into their closet. He walks back out to the living room and he unveils the greatest gift of all, a Nintendo. No, y'all not shouting loud enough. Come on. Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, Super Tecmo Bowl, Mike Tyson, Punch Out. Come on, somebody. Hello, then sings my soul. My Savior God to thee. How great thou art. The greatest gift. It was a thrill of hope. Hope that we were going to get not just what we needed, but also what we wanted. I know it's a gift story from Christmas, and it might feel a little trite, but let's be honest. In this chapter of life, it's always important for us to make sure that we stay thrilled with the hope that Jesus brings. Pastor Jer brought us this line last week that we'll start with today. It says, we rejoice because Jesus was willing to show up and rescue us while we were lost. Let's be honest, we could close our Bibles, turn off our phones, go home and shout on that one right there, because we are rejoicing that Jesus rescued us when we were lost. Lost in sin, lost in difficulty, lost. Today, as we look at hope, we're gonna hop into Luke chapter 2 in just a moment, but before we do so, I'd love to help you to see a little bit of context that biblical historians give us for what's happening in Luke 2, where we're going to read today. Because what we find in Luke 2 that I think is happening also in 2024 is we find a weary culture. We find weary people. You don't have to raise your hand, but your neighbor's gonna raise their hand for you and just say, at some point this year, you have felt weary. Maybe even now. Maybe even in the journey of raising kids. Danielle and I are raising two, a third grader and a four-year-old. We are having so much fun, but we are so tired. Parents said amen to that one right there. In these moments, there's challenges. There's challenges at work. Sometimes you want to lay hands on a coworker, and I don't mean in prayer. You get weary. You get weary educationally. You get weary emotionally. You get weary physically. You get weary mentally. Wherever it is, all of us at some point are or have experienced what it is to be weary. There's a culture in the New Testament, the Jewish culture that is experiencing what it is to be weary. And there are a few distinct characteristics of what causes them to be weary. The first one is that they are experiencing social and political tension. Translation, they've got problems with the government. Back then, not now. Economic burdens. I mean, no, you can mess with everything, but don't mess with my money. Economic challenges, taxation without representation. The Roman government would also subject them to fear and brutality. If a rebellion would rise, they would try to squelch that rebellion if at all possible and do it in such a way that no one would want to lead a rebellion afterwards. Challenges socially and politically, challenges economically, challenges with how things are run, challenges with fear. This is the setting where we pick up our story in Luke chapter 2, where God is about to send angels to communicate to a group of shepherds about the coming birth of his son. Shepherds were often forgotten. Some of them would be the youngest of the family that would be given the worst job possible. Some would be those who've been ostracized from the community and sent to go shepherd these sheep, watch over them, take responsibility for them. And this overlooked and underestimated group of people is who God desires and designed to send his messenger angels to communicate the coming of his greatest gift of all, his son. It's in this part of biblical history that I find a lot of joy. And the main characters of our story today are these shepherds, because all of us in this room or watching online, we can look back to some point in our lives and say, it was dark and I felt overlooked and I felt forgotten, but yet God still talked to me. And brought in that moment the thrill of hope. It's important for us to establish here a thought I'd love for you to take with you, and it's this: hope shows up in unlikely places. Hope shows up in unlikely places. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8, it says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep." Somebody shout this next word with me. Here we go. Suddenly, come on, say it like you mean it. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were what? Terrified. Let's be honest, in this room and watching online, clearly the angels that showed up to the shepherds, they weren't those little 2'5" chubby diaper-wearing ones they try to give us on Valentine's Day. Come on. They were large and in charge. Hello. They had booming voices, the radiance of light that showed up with these heavenly beings. It caused there to be a pause, and fear set in. But my next thought for today about hope is this, is that hope conquers fear. Luke 2, 9 and 10 says this, "Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them." Here we go. They were what? Terrified, but the angel reassured them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. What did he say? "Don't be afraid." How many have ever read scripture before and go, "Easy for you to say. You 13 feet tall." He says, but what? Here's why I don't want you to be afraid. I bring you what? Good news. That will be for all people. It'll give you great joy, and it'll be for all people. I love this. Hope shows up in unlikely places, and hope conquers fear. These angels show up to these seemingly forgotten shepherds, immediately elevating the value of folks who have felt overlooked. Have you ever been in a chapter before where you felt overlooked? Overlooked at work. Someone always gets the promotion before you. Overlooked in your house. Overlooked in the community. overlooked by family, overlooked by you filling the gaps of where it was. I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan. For many years, we were overlooked till we got a man named Brady. All right, I'll get back to the text. Here we go. You feel overlooked. But God makes sure that his greatest creation doesn't feel overlooked by him. He shows up with a reassuring message that if you look for hope, you will find it. And in this, the hope that I'm giving you will conquer the fear of the social and political tension you feel. It'll conquer the challenges you're facing economically, and it will conquer and overthrow the injustice and difficulty that you are experiencing. I love it when God reassures us, because God's reassurance brings hope and joy to a weary soul. He does this, and he sends this message to these shepherds. And these shepherds are seemingly unlikely characters in the Christmas narrative, but they're showing us some very important characteristics. I feel like God sent a shepherd into my life in a chapter, and his name was Bob. Bob was a member of our prayer team at the church, and Bob had defeated cancer in one chapter of his life, and then I'll never forget the email that we got that said that Bob's cancer had returned. And Bob said, I know that my days are numbered. I don't know how many are left, but I'm going to use every one of them to bring God glory and draw as many people as possible to the good news that brings great joy. Bob chose to suffer well. Bob would wake up and write prayers for people on a daily basis. Bob would use his walker and then his wheelchair to make his way out to the spot where we pray for people after weekend services. Bob carried this good news to as many people as he came in contact with. And I'll never forget the hope that I found when I looked for it out of Bob's life. As a pastor, one of the greatest privileges in life is being invited into very personal and difficult moments of someone's life. And I'll never forget, less than 24 hours before Bob went home to be with the Lord, that I had the privilege of sitting bedside with him. He could not respond, but he could hear. So I prayed and I worshiped and I read from his Bible. And I found hope in a very unlikely place. As I flipped the worn pages of his Bible, I could hear what an old saint once said, that a Bible that is falling apart is often owned by a saint who's held together. And there were dates in different verses of Bob's Bible. And those dates represented moments where he took that scripture at its word. And he believed God to meet a need for him or for someone else. And he put a date on there when he started praying, and then he put a date on there when the prayer got answered. And then I flipped the Psalms, and he had a date on there where he prayed for someone and a date on there where the prayer was answered. And then I flipped to the Gospel of John. He had a date on there where he believed God's word and a day on there where the promise was answered. That brought so much hope in an unlikely place that in the midst of death, God was bringing life. In the midst of darkness, God was bringing hope. In the midst of difficulty, the thrill of hope emerged to the surface. And I came to encourage somebody today, when you take God at his word, even in chapters where you're terrified, God will reassure you through his word. I'm not bringing you something to hurt you. I'm bringing you something to help you. It's good news that will bring great joy. Hope is found in unlikely places. Hope conquers fear. Here we go. Hope has a name. His name? It's Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Here we go. And you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. There's three different titles that are given for Jesus. This is no ordinary child that is being born. The angels came to show themselves and declare it, and they say, hey, this baby will be known as Savior, Christ, and Lord. Savior, Christ, and Lord. Savior, here we go. Savior, the rescuer from sin, death, and brokenness. Christ, the promised Messiah and chosen one. Lord, sovereign over all with power and authority to reign. Can I say it like I was back home for a moment? He's a bad mamma jamma. All of this is who he was and who he still is. Ooh, this brings joy to my African-American heart this morning. To know that this is no ordinary child. My wife has given birth to two, so I've only heard about what that process is. But in holding those two kids, I've had great dreams for Savannah and Kyrie. I speak life over them every time I have a chance. I remember the little smushy faces when they were born. I kissed them and kissed them and wouldn't stop kissing them. And the other day, my third grader, she said, Daddy, stop kissing me. I said, you're not old enough to say that yet. No, you just. But all three of these names that are given represent this. This is no ordinary child. This is God's son. I love the fact that he has to give a sign for how to recognize him. Because you and I would look and go, we know who Jesus is. Everybody else just saw a baby. But when you see this baby, whoo, he'll be wrapped in strips of cloth. He's not gonna be swaddled in a Louis Vuitton blanket. He's gonna be strips of cloth. They had to rip him and wrap him, rip him and wrap him, rip him and wrap him. And he's gonna be lying in a manger. He didn't have the three in one, you know, the crib that turns into another crib that turns into a bed. He had that one. He's in a manger. But I want you to see this because I don't want you to miss this, because if you miss this, you'll miss the name connected to this child. He's Savior. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. He's Christ, the chosen one. I know you want him to ride in on a war horse and overthrow the government, but he actually came to overthrow sin and death. He's just different. And Lord, ooh, sovereign, in charge of all, but yet humble and meek, not weak, power under control. He'll be in a manger. He'll be talked about in Philippians 2 as having no reputation, thinking of himself as having no reputation, but humbling himself to Calvary's cross, whereby now he now has a name that is above every name, at the name of Jesus. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is no ordinary child. Pay attention, shepherds. He has a name. Shepherds, I know it's hard for you to stand back and trust that what I'm saying to you today in Luke chapter 2, you can take it to the bank. But I need you to understand that you can trust what I'm saying because my record's impeccable, God would say. And if they could trust God then, here we go, you and I can still trust God now. Can we be honest for a moment at the risk of vulnerability and just say that some of the most difficult days of trusting God are when it's dark and it seems endless? If we knew our problems had an expiration date, sometimes we'd be filled with more hope. But God says, no, 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 no. I want you to have hope in me even when it's dark around you. Because I need you to, here we go, learn how to trust me when you can't see tomorrow. Old song says, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow and I know who holds my hand. Corrie Ten Boom, a survivor of the Holocaust, says it like this: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Somebody needs to walk in that confidence this year and in 2025 and just say, I have no clue what the future holds, but I know who holds the future and I know who holds me. Amen? Amen. Next thought here, hope will move you to action. When the shepherds heard the message from the angels, Luke 2 and 15 says, the angels returned to heaven, but the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. They hurried. The Message version says they went running to the village and found Mary and Joseph and the sign, the baby, lying in the manger. Put yourself in the narrative for just a moment and imagine what it's like, here we go, not to be the shepherds, but to be Mary and Joseph. You've already been in a stable. After not being able to find a hotel room, you couldn't get to the Ritz, you couldn't get to the Marriott, you couldn't even get to Motel 6, and they didn't even leave the light on for you. Come on. You couldn't find anywhere. So you found this stable with animals. You've got your most precious gift in hand. Joseph, an angel, told you, raise that baby boy. Mary, an angel told you who you were giving birth to. You are still trying to get your sea legs, not just about parenting, but also about parenting Jesus. Pause. Parents, we ain't never felt no pressure like that before. We raising kids, they were raising Jesus. Some of these things just ain't the same. Continue. And in the midst of your adulation, and in the midst of your unease, and in the midst of your, are we doing the right thing? Does the diaper go this way or that way? Maybe that's just me. Okay. You get out of breath, panting, stinking shepherds that show up to your door talking about, hey, we, see what happened was, we had seen some angels, and they said stuff, and we didn't do LSD to get there. We came running, and whoop, there he is. That's just how I get scripture. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, my favorite song, Christmas song. Ready? Ready? Here we go. Can you hear pentatonics right now? Mary, did you know? Answer, she did not. She didn't know. She didn't know. She didn't know. She had no idea. She knew what she was told, but she was just believing and taking next steps, believing, taking next steps, believing, taking next steps. This is what the shepherds were doing. They were believing and taking next steps, believing, taking next steps, believing, taking next steps. That's literally what this life is, following Jesus, whether it's light or whether it's dark, whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether we have hope or whether we feel hopeless. This is what it means to follow Jesus. We just believe and take next steps. I love the posture scripture says about the shepherds. They came running. Let's be honest in this room. Actually, I'll just be honest for everyone. You ready? When we follow Jesus, there's a lot of intrepidation that comes with this process. Because it doesn't always make sense. Trust me. Yeah, but do you see what's going on around me? Trust me. Obey. Hey, Jesus, don't know if you see it or not. Things aren't making sense. You're asking me to do this. It doesn't feel right. I know. Trust me. And the shepherds didn't hesitate. They just went running. How would your life look If every time God spoke something to you through his word and by his spirit, we weren't trying to break it down and analyze it. Oh, I'm just as guilty as the next person. That's why I'm in therapy. But when God speaks, I don't have to think. I just run in response. Because if we're honest in this room, in City First Anywhere, Janesville, God Behind Bars, Cape Coral, we learn more about God through our problems than we do our successes. How would we know he's a healer if we never got sick? How would we see him as Savior if we never got stuck? How would we see him as Lord if we never stepped off of our own proverbial high horse and allowed him to do what only he can? How would we see him as Deliverer if he didn't have to come get us out of something? Hello. My pastor says it like this: I'd rather face problems with God by my side than to have a life with no problems at all. These shepherds, they sold this. The Roman government hadn't changed. The tax collectors were still taking more than what they were entitled to. Brutality and fear was still present among the community. But the shepherds found hope. Which leads me to this final thought for today. It's this: hope is a message that must be shared. The shepherds ran, found him, Luke 2 and 17. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. All who heard the shepherd's story were filled with great joy. All who heard the shepherd's story were perplexed that these shepherds had been trusted with this message. Ooh. These forgotten shepherds, these outcasts of the community, these guys on the night watch just watching some lambs, they've been entrusted with a story we still tell today. And everyone who heard it was astonished. Ooh. That word astonished, to me, it causes me to pause for a moment, because there are a ton of things in life that astonish us in a negative way. You just scroll through the artist formerly known as Twitter and you'll find something that astonishes you. You just turn on whatever news station it is, and there's something every day that just astonishes you. You hear a story, you have a conversation, you sit at Starbucks for 20 minutes, you'll hear something that astonishes you. And I don't mean in a positive way, but can we be honest and just say what a weary world needs that will bring the thrill of hope back to them is more believers and followers that tell stories of who God is to you and watch it just astonish people. You did what? You were where? You used to be who? You said what? And now you're, no way. No, no way. No way. No, no way. No, 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 no way. I know. And every one of us in this room, here we go. You got a story that's got to be told. Oh, I know you're living the story, but don't forget to tell the story. Because someone around you right now is dealing with something you've already found victory over. And it's your word about your story that God will use, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to give them the thrill of hope for their weary world. It reminds me personally of my Aunt Donna. A year ago, she went home to be with the Lord. I did her funeral earlier this year. And the significant thing about my Aunt Donna, there are many to mention, but one in particular I'll say today is that she was the first person in my mom's family to give their life to Jesus. She met Jesus, prayed a prayer, and started to live for him at what you and I would call our life group, our small group, our community gathering. She grew up in a home that put the fun in dysfunctional. Abuse, addiction, nothing life-giving. The type of family that the whole neighborhood knew about, and they had plenty of stories where folks were astonished at some of the stuff that happened in that house. The type of family that should end up as a statistic on the wrong side of history. But when my Aunt Donna came to a place of acknowledging Jesus as her Lord, she didn't just tiptoe into this relationship, she ran all in. At that point, she was the only family member that knew Jesus, and she wouldn't stop talking about him. So much so that she introduced her Savior and Lord to my mom. And it was shortly after that my mom prayed a simple prayer of commitment and went all in based upon her experience in watching my Aunt Donna's life change. I'll never forget one story that I was told as I prepared to give my Aunt Donna's eulogy. It said that my Aunt Donna had been messing around with witchcraft at the time she gave her life to Jesus, and how many know God will cut through anything and everything to find you. Her life was so radically changed that one day she walked back into the double-wide trailer that she lived in shortly after giving her life to Jesus, and the Ouija board that was in the ceiling of the double-wide trailer fell down to the ground and shattered in pieces, almost as if God was saying, the curse over this family is broken right here and right now. My mom is a 72-year-old woman, and I still see the astonished look on her face when she tells that story every time, as if it just happened yesterday. And I don't know what the thing is that's been in your family line. I don't know what the challenges are that you have faced or you are facing, but I believe if God could do it for my Aunt Donna, that then trickled down to my mom, that then trickled down to me, that now has trickled down to countless other people, that will get the glory. Here we go. God will get the glory in heaven for what my Aunt Donna allowed him to do through her life here on earth. Somebody else, take that step today. Your family is worth it. Their future is worth it. A weary world rejoices when God's greatest and best creation, who? You, discovers the thrill of hope, embraces it, and then shares it with everyone. He's no respecter of person. He wants to do it, and he will do it if you let him. Just let him. Just let him. Paul, the writer of 2/3 of the New Testament, pens this prayer for us in Romans chapter 15. Where he points directly to the source of hope that many of us have found, that my Aunt Donna has found, and that someone else is about to find today, when he says this, I pray that God, who the source of hope, will fill you what? Completely with joy and peace. Why? Because you trust in him. When you do this, then you will overflow with what? Confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to rejoice through pain? It's possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. A weary world finds hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Parents parent healthier moving forward because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Businesses are run with more integrity than they've ever been run before. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. You might not slap that coworker now. Why? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. You choose to trust God again. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. In a moment, I'm going to give an opportunity for someone to pray a simple prayer of commitment. Many of us in this room and watching City First Anywhere, we've prayed this prayer already, and we've made this declaration to put God as the source of our hope. And today, I believe that someone is about to pray this prayer. And when you do, I want to encourage you that your life will be different moving forward because God is now your source of hope and nothing else. It's a process. Things don't change overnight, but you change forever. So would you pray this prayer out loud with me? Just say, Jesus, I need you. I've tried on my own and I've failed. So today, I hand you my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I hand you my life. I receive your love. Be the Lord of my life and the source of my hope. Today and every day to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, put those hands together for them today.
Hey, if you made that decision to make Jesus the leader and the forgiver of your life, we just want to take a moment and say congratulations to you because that is the best decision that you could ever make. And it's one of the most life-changing prayers that you could ever pray. So we're so glad that you took that step today. And as your church family, we want to come alongside you and help you in this journey of following Jesus. So the first thing is you got to tell somebody about that decision that you are making today, whether it's the person that invited you to participate in service today, or you can even drop it in the chat and our host would love to take a moment and say congratulations to you. But then also we want to point you to a free resource called New Beginnings. You can scan the QR code that is on the screen. And this is a great resource that explains a little bit more about the decision you're making and how to follow Jesus.
And then after you go through the New Beginnings resource, we have something called Growth Track, which is a great opportunity to also grow in your faith and get connected here at City First, but also discover your divine design and the life that God has designed you to live. So it starts the first Sunday of every month. And whether you've been here for, this is your first time, or you've been coming for a long time, we think everybody should go through Growth Track. It's such a great experience. And so you can sign up by scanning the QR code or visit cityfirst.church/growth-track.
That's right. And, you know, here at City First, we believe in the power of prayer. And we know that during the holidays, sometimes it can be a little bit heavier for families and they're navigating some different challenges. Yeah. Well, if that's you, we would love to take a moment and pray for you. If you jump on the City First app, at any point you can request prayer. And there are hundreds of people that are praying for those prayer requests that come in. So we'd love to take a moment and pray for you if that is you. And then also, we're getting pretty close to our Christmas Eve services, which means we're in our final days of our Advent reading plan. And if you haven't jumped on yet, jump on. You got a few more days left as we journey towards Christmas. You can check out the Advent reading plan on the City First app.
Yep. And then come back to church. That's the best thing you can do. And next week is going to be amazing. We have normal Sunday services on the 22nd. And then join us on the 24th, Christmas Eve, for our Christmas Eve services. They're happening at multiple times at all of our locations. So make sure to check that out on the website. But you will not want to miss it. Bring